All right, above average day in the city, Curtis. Above average win last night for your Red Sox. I know you've got to be feeling a lot better than yesterday morning when you chatted with the chief baseball officer, Craig Breslow, who just heard on the replay. And good morning to you, by the way. How are you?
I'm great. I'm not going to reveal the location of my... we each have MA inspection locations that are efficient.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I left Southie at 8:25. I got my car inspected and got here a couple minutes before 9. Phenomenal day.
Things are popping. And you
gorgeous
have a
morning.
Transformational Red Sox talent delivering the extra inning walk-off last night.
The pitch to Anthony. Swinging a high fly into center field. It is way back. And that's going to win the game. It's over McCormick's head. Abreu scores. Roman Anthony's first walk-off hit gives the Red Sox a 2-1 win in 10. Maybe they got enough on this roster as it is built exactly. Thrilling win for the Red Sox in extra innings.
That's good.
Will on the afternoon show, I saw a clip on Instagram, and he was saying that that they may have gotten the best pitcher, something to that effect.
He did?
Dustin May, or Darren May, or Drake May, or
Drake May's cousin.
I don't even.
You know, that's my favorite month of the year.
Yeah, really. Boy, oh boy.
All they needed was Cooper Criswell to be called up to outpitch Hunter Brown. Doesn't that instill a little bit of belief back in you, Curtis? Just a little bit.
He didn't believe what he was just saying. Like, I'm sorry. Like, what are we doing here? And I was thinking about.
I thought you had turned. I thought the last 24 hours.
Oh yeah. I got 8.5 hours sleep last night. It was glorious.
There you go. You're inspected. You're recovered.
I am fully still in recovery. but the news yesterday from Bob Nightingale, the news from Ken Rosenthal, I finally understand it. They're tired of being spun by this organization. They're tired of being lied to about intentions from the team. And so you have Rosenthal saying it was feeble, which is a way of making a point. And
specifically, their offer to Joe Ryan, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Which is a specific way to say, I'm done letting you guys use me as a pawn in a game to mislead your fan base. I am angry. It's okay to think that a team's in on someone and they don't end up with the person. But I go back to a conversation that we had with Bradford last offseason, this past offseason, when the Red Sox were rumored to be in pursuit of Juan Soto. And Rob Bradford said, look at the capital they invested. Look at all the people that were at those deals. You don't do that if you're not intending, if your intentions aren't to actually pursue the guy. And I would say to Rob, are you like Ken Rosenthal, tired of being spun? Are you tired? They were never in on Juan Soto. I did a Google search of this last night, and it popped up a video of Wiggy and I. I mean, God, Wiggy, love you. Boy, have you been wrong. And
well,
I watched it, and I'm sitting back. They care so much about creating the impression that they haven't changed, that they are willing to do almost anything except actually change their financial approach.
It is amazing how the national media hates the Red Sox. You're right about that.
And so, why do you think that is?
I want to answer that on the backside of this. Here's Rosenthal and his reaction to things yesterday.
Epic fail. Comes off an epic fail last year's deadline with Craig Breslow, and this was an epic fail as well. Now, again, they met the same problem that the Cubs ran into. Joe Ryan is another starting pitcher who wasn't traded, but my understanding is any talks that they had with the Twins were feeble at best. They didn't come at them hard. The Red Sox are one of many teams that uses modeling and tries to figure out what the best values are, and it's all about efficiency and getting the best deal and this and that and the other thing. At some point, you've got to fire. It's the same thing we're saying with the Cubs. And they did not even address first base, which I know they've gotten decent work out of Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro, but my goodness, that was a position where they had to act. They tried for Suarez, Eugenio Suarez, and they tried with the idea of playing him at first base, didn't get him. Didn't get a starter other than Dustin May, who has not been a very successful starter for the Dodgers. And in their bullpen with Steven Matz, he's a swing guy, he can be effective, but my goodness, they needed more. This is a team that is on the rise.
So there's Rosenthal, who's pretty well as respected as it gets, I would say, among the baseball writers. He's not a John Morosi, half right, half wrong.
Well, I would say he is the last person I would suggest is a bomb tosser.
Right.
In the national media. Like he
used words like that, feeble, and what did he say, pathetic? Or
epic fail.
Epic fail. And he mentions Toro in there, by the way, who was a cleanup last night going into the game. God. And he had like two like first pitch swinging sad trombones to end innings. So if they had lost that game last night, this would have been a hellacious morning. But they find a way to win.
But to answer your question. Where are we going?
Yes, to answer your question, why do they hate the Red Sox? I just think Breslow now, after Bloom, are the same guy. They're the only ones that speak to these, because you know John Henry's not talking to Ken Rosenthal, right? So they get so frustrated by the word salad of these guys, just like the rest of us do.
No, what are you talking about? The reason Chaim Bloom and Breslow bother these people is because they're operating under the directive of an organization that wants to appear like they care when the reality is they're not investing.
I know, I get that. I'm not arguing that point.
But that's why.
But all they talk to are these guys, the Bresbot. That's all they talk to, and they throw their hands up in the air. Buster only just says, this guy, what am I doing here? Wasting 40 minutes of my time.
Right, because
with nothing.
But what else are you to do if you're Craig Breslow but use word salad when you can't say we're actually going to sign the guy?
I don't know. This Nightingale clip really shakes. I think I know ownership is complicit and involved
complicit.
in the direction. But isn't it possible that Breslow just botched it as well? I mean, both
could
be true.
Who hired Breslow?
I know he was hired. But they legitimately wanted Merrill Kelly. He didn't get the job done.
I love Jones and Keefe. I listen every day. It's a great show. I'm driving home from Fall River listening to them. And Jones was saying, I don't know how you can be mad at Henry. This is all on Breslow. And I'm sitting
back.
I'm
with Jones. I think it's a lot on Breslow here.
How? Well, at what point does John Henry say, we need to get this guy and step in?
They were in the room, according to Bradfo, talked to Sam Kennedy last night. According to him, Theo was in the room. Okay. John Henry was in the room. Mike Gordon was in the room. They were all in there.
How in God's name could you blame Craig Breslow?
Well, because he's the guy on the phone to get the job
done. So Theo Epstein, the greatest general manager potentially in the history of American sports, is in the room and you're blaming Craig Breslow?
Okay, can you listen to this Nightingale cut?
No, just answer that. How could you possibly blame Breslow? He's the least powerful of the people
he's
in that room.
He's the guy in the trenches.
You said they were all in the trenches.
But he's actually on the phone in the trench.
Oh, so you think John Henry and Theo Epstein are playing solitaire?
They've got the cohiba with the solitaire, yeah.
But, like, you don't believe that. How can you say that?
What, you think John Henry gets on the phone with
Agent X? You said they're all in the room. How do you blame Craig Breslow? He's the least powerful of everybody there.
Well, they're on the exterior of the room.
What?
Can we listen to Nightingale? Here's Bob Nightingale talking about Breslow and dealing with the Red Sox.
Yeah, teams hate dealing with the Red Sox. They said it's very tough to deal with Breslow.
Thank you.
Had some momentum going with Merrill Kelly.
Nope, keep going,
That fell apart to him. I don't think they were ever really in on Joe Ryan. You know, there was some report that was done. I'm not sure they even had conversations. But when you talk to GMs around the game, it's tough to deal with the Red Sox.
He doesn't even think they had conversations with the Twins on Joe Ryan. It wasn't even like, not even like close. They didn't even talk to them. So
how is that Breslow's fault?
Well, he says specifically, it's very difficult to deal with Breslow.
But if they never even talked to them about Joe Ryan, how is that Breslow's fault?
Well, no, I go over to Merrill Kelly and I go over to Alcantara.
Okay, but
Alcantara.
The one that was being perpetuated by the national media that was erroneously reported by Fox News and Yahoo was the Red Sox acquiring Joe Ryan. Mm-hmm. Then, after the deadline, Chris Cotillo reports at Mass Live, they were never close. Ken Rosenthal says feeble at best. And you're blaming Craig Breslow for that?
Well, if they get Merrill Kelly, I'm fine today.
Ken, focus. Joe Ryan, why were they being lied to in the national media? Why? Who was doing it and why?
The Joe Ryan situation
is
bizarre.
Do you think Craig Breslow gives a damn about he's completely and totally disconnected from the reality. It is Sam Kennedy that is desirous of you. He is the one person who, when asked directly, says we haven't changed. He's the only person in this 6-state region that actually will say that out loud when everybody can see with their own two eyes what they've done.
Yeah.
This is Sam Kennedy's operation far more than it's Craig Breslow's.
Nightingale just said GMs hate talking to Breslow. And they were in on Merrill Kelly, and they didn't get the job done.
Right. They hate talking to Breslow because he's powerless.
Okay, obviously, I don't know. I'm just trying to judge who's most to blame here.
This is like blaming Nick Caserio for the Patriots' failure to sign a guy. Honestly.
Who do you blame? And does last night make you feel any better? 617-779-7937 to join us here on the Ken and Curtis Show. On Fenway Game Days, we broadcast from your Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. It's presented by your New England Ford dealers. And the Ford Summer Sales Event, great summer day today. Hurry in and get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox.
Did the Red Sox fail on Thursday?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Why does it keep
happening? It's a D-minus. Can I give it a D-minus?
Why does it keep happening?
Because they didn't do nothing.
No, I'm asking, why do they keep failing four straight deadlines?
Inadequate general managers. When they had Dombrowski, he got jobs done.
Why did they fire Dombrowski?
They thought he went too far.
They went too far? What do you mean? By what?
He went rogue. He didn't involve them. The Chris Sale trade,
wait, but I thought it was all of the general manager who did it.
In that case, it was. They didn't want that to the extreme.
Why do you think, above all else, why do you think Dombrowski got fired?
He was too
expensive.
Full of himself.
Too expensive.
I don't think so. What, his particular salary?
What? No, the payroll of the team he was building.
Well, yeah, probably that too.
That too, or that's the reason?
I think he made trades without consulting with them. He just is Dave Dombrowski.
I thought that they were all in the room at all times.
Well, back then they weren't. That's part of the reason they said they
fired. Was the team better when they were out of the room?
Are you grilling me like I'm John Henry? I'm telling you what.
Was the team better when those people were out of the room?
I love Dave Dombrowski, yes. So then, I would not have fired him. I wish he was here.
So the people that are operating the team now, it's not Chaim Bloom and Craig Breslow. They got rid of Dombrowski because he had too much power and the team was too expensive.
Right.
Even though he had just built the best team in the history of the franchise.
Right.
A year later, not even, they fire him, and they bring in these puppets that they can use to blame for enacting a baseball decision that they want.
Yeah, but at some point, the puppet has to actually do something. They can't just, like...
Okay, call Geppetto.
Obviously, you don't want to give Breslow any blame. You love Craig.
Well,
He's your guy.
It's just misguided nonsense. It's perpetuating what the organization wants us to do. We're being pawns in a game that John Henry sits back and counts his money with.
I like Nightingale. I trust him. He's got GMs telling him Breslow's very difficult to deal with, and that speaks to me, and it seems like they were in on some of these guys to the end and couldn't get it over the finish line, and that's his fault.
I think Sam Kennedy should hire me. Why are you telling Bradfoe you're in the room? That is a horrible look.
We can hear a little snippet of that later if you'd care to. But hey, look, they're in
franchise.
It.
What a franchise. What an absolute.
Despite all this, they're in it. And if they play 500 baseball, they're going to win 86 games. And they have a very easy schedule. Fairly easy, anyway. 30 of their last 51 opponents have a sub-500 record, a 500 record or below. So they, even despite all this mangling, D-minus or failure, Curtis, don't you think they're a playoff team? I mean, they still are going to back their way into this. And the Yankees, by the way, talk about an epic fail. Did you see their game last night?
Yeah, they lost 13-12 against the Marlins.
Four of their new additions had a major hand in it, including Bednar.
So you think the Red Sox were right to do nothing?
No, I'm not saying that.
If they traded Jaron Duran for Joe Ryan,
I wouldn't have done that.
I would have been a second.
No, I love Duran.
Yeah, you think a second starter in baseball is not worth more than a left fielder?
They need Duran. They just, after the Devers trade, they couldn't afford it. So that's where I agree with them.
If they have Joe Ryan, do you know how angry the fan base is going to be? Because you're right, they're going to be in it. The AL is down, and they're, whatever, 9 games over 500 right now. But if what they're doing with Crochet, James wanted to see Crochet. We got tickets for today, and then they bumped him. And the organization is going to be slow playing Crochet in big games because he's got the big deal and he's going to be up against an innings limit that he's yet to exceed.
Yeah.
As they have the biggest games of the year, and you're going to sit back and say, we couldn't have had Joe Ryan Saturday, yesterday, whenever, down the stretch here. It's just if they had a scintilla of a competitive juice remaining inside the walls of Fenway Park, Thursday is so different. And you and I have sat here with the Patriots and the Red Sox for years, and we have said, "What? Well, they have to now. They have to. How many times have we said to each other about those two organizations, they have to invest now?
Do you want to talk Micah Parsons?
I said to myself, we are not doing this tomorrow. We have done it too many times.
Terry McLaurin?
They need a receiver.
All right, lots to react to. We'll be here until 11. It's the Kenny Curtis program. Jacob Laster has your trending news. Billy Joel doc, pretty good. Got to say that. I went through both, they're like 3-hour episodes. 2 3-hour episodes on HBO. Curtis, did you dive into that?
I do not care about Billy Joel enough to watch 6 hours about him, but I do like the Downeaster Alexa.
Oh, and that's featured prominently. This is the Kenny Curtis Show, also known as the Misguided Nonsense Show, according to one texter. Mm-hmm. Good name for it. That was Bob Nightingale talking about...
He said the Red Sox are tough people to deal with.
No, he mentioned Breslow twice, specifically in that cut.
Right, but he said the organization is difficult to deal with.
And Breslow in particular, I believe, is his last turn of phrase.
Right, there. Because he is the one that's the point of it. But I can't believe you sit in a room, and there's Theo Epstein, John Henry, and you're like, Breslow, he's the one to play.
What do they play over there in the corner? Do you think they...
They're not in the corner. There's no corner of a room that Theo Epstein would be sitting
Theo
in.
Theo doesn't care anymore. He is not engaged.
So then why have him there?
He's just a figurehead, like you said. He's there to make people feel better.
Oh, because he's there to perpetuate a narrative about the organization that they're invested, because why would he ever not be invested in anything, right?
I agree.
Another sign the organization is interested in things that are superfluous to actually winning games.
Well, they're trying to let Breslow do his job, and you heard the one
then
scout
why are they
that
all
got
in
fired
the room if they
call
wanna...
him an stiff. Wait. I mean, it's pretty clear that he's socially awkward.
Right.
And he's got to deal with other general managers.
How many
be a
people
human
did
being.
They interview before they went to him for the GM position?
15 and a half.
Well, I mean, was it a 10?
I think it was a lot.
Why do you think that was the case?
I think the takeaway from that is they got a guy who's not ready for the job yet.
But why do you think so many people didn't want a job that would have been considered the top two job in baseball about 15 years ago?
I don't know. I don't know who they were. I don't know who turned it down.
No, I'm asking you, why was the job that was sought after?
Maybe they didn't pay enough.
Or the team, they knew the team wasn't going to spend. They saw Chaim Bloom hired to do something, and he got fired for doing what he was hired for.
I mean, it's better than 15 other jobs in baseball. They do spend to a certain level.
But,
it's not like you have to be the
Pirates. But the expectations don't match that because the organization isn't direct with its fan base. So you are saddled with doing something where you don't have the ammunition to do it.
But you agree they might not have paid well.
Can you keep going all over? The
no,
reason
just answer
the job,
that question. Do you agree that that could be a factor? The
right.
Salary.
They're not paying anybody over
okay.
there.
Including the GM, so that could be part of it.
Of course.
Thank you.
But if you're going to
have... First thing we agree on this.
But if you have an opportunity to be the GM of the Red Sox and they're going to spend and they don't spend on you, you can parlay that into another job. It's still incredibly high profile.
Yeah. I mean, look, they obviously could have done better. I wish Dombrowski was still here. The guy is
but
money.
Why, right.
Yoan Duran saved everyone last night for the Phillies.
That's the reason he's not here. You call them what? What did you use? Word did you use to describe him?
Phenomenal. I don't know.
He said he's money.
Money. Yeah, he's money.
And that's why he's not here.
Why is he not here? Why is Schwarber not here? Because you're right. They're going to make the postseason. Here's my prediction. And this is going to kind of take a back burner. But the lack of a number two starter or a significant other pitcher is going to rear its head in a playoff series. And unless they make the World Series, this is going to come back up again, right?
Ken, they don't understand just how massive the chasm is between their messaging and their fan base. It's one thing to orchestrate a rebuild. The Celtics, this offseason, are not telling you that they're as locked in as they were 2 years ago. It's understood they want to stay out of the second apron, whatever you agree with or disagree with. The new owner's here. Tatum's out for the year. Their offseason has been one of trying to mitigate the damage, but in no way are they saying they're as close to a title now as they were a year ago.
Yeah.
And there's an understanding with their fan base. I feel like you sit back here.
Well, they're better than last year. Cora says that, and he's right. You would agree with that, right? They're better than a year ago. I don't think
I don't
they're going to collapse.
I mean, would it shock you if they finish the year at 83 wins?
Well, they won 81 last year. Yes. I mean, they'd have to be sub 500.
You say they're 500 and they have 86. Wow. 5-win difference year over year. Mm. What a great year.
Still, technically, better. They look like a better. They feel like a better team. Crochet makes them a better team, right? I mean, they have an ace. They
Who
have,
was their cleanup hitter last night?
the Bull.
I mean, okay. I don't think.
Scored two runs in 10 innings last night.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to the car and talk to John. Kick us off here this morning. Hello, John.
Good morning. So I'm going to defend Breslow here. First of all, he was right about the Devers trade. Second of all,
well,
you guys
not really, not really, John. I mean, if he was really right about the Devers trade, they could have.
Wait. San Francisco has lost. They have the worst record in baseball since the trade,
right.
And the Red Sox have been fine. So let's
right.
you know.
But John, if they had acquired better players in return and taken on more money as an organization, they may have gotten Joe Ryan yesterday instead of Dustin May.
Yeah. So let's talk about Joe Ryan. So You know, Breslow made it clear he wasn't going to trade anybody on the major league roster, and Joe Ryan didn't go anywhere. And did you guys catch Will Fleming last night saying that there were national figures who were just saying things that were wrong? Ooh. I think he's talking about Rosenthal.
Who do you think pays Will Fleming's salary, John?
You think Will Fleming?
I'm asking you a question, John.
Because the Red Sox pay his salary?
Of course.
Well, why not even be lying? He might be getting spun by people inside the building.
I mean, John, he's paid by the organization. Why would wait, John? Why would Ken Rosenthal lie?
Answer
the question, John. This isn't your show. Why would Ken Rosenthal and Bob Nightingale lie?
So why?
I'm asking you a question, John. I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question, John. John, why would Ken Rosenthal lie?
Because it makes good copy.
What? What copy? What are you talking about?
Wow, the Red Sox stink. They weren't even in on this guy. So Will Fleming, Alex Cora say they were in the room. Cora said he was in the room for an hour, and he was impressed. And Breslow says, hey, we tried to get it done. Joe Ryan didn't go anywhere. They didn't get outbid for him. He didn't go anywhere. So, and, you know, you said, hey, you would swap Duran for Ryan. I wouldn't. We can disagree about that. That's a reasonable position to take.
I understand, John. Said, Ken Rosenthal has been covering Major League Baseball for a generation. He has a pristine reputation. He is not a bomb tosser of any kind. So you think he's going to throw that down the drain for clicks to a podcast now?
Well, I don't understand why, like, the plausible explanation from people who were there must be nefarious.
Well, right? Because one of the parties is being paid by the organization, John. One of the parties that you're quoting is being paid by an organization. By definition, he is not impartial.
I think it's a big step to call Will Fleming a liar.
I'm not saying he's a liar. I'm saying that he is being paid by an organization that is desirous of spin after not getting players at the deadline, while Ken Rosenthal is being paid to cover Major League Baseball nationally.
Okay,
I mean, thanks, John. Thank you. I mean... It's not that
going to be a happy
like,
morning.
Like
God,
Bob
so nice
Soucy, though. If he was on the broadcast saying something about the Patriots, we would take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I mean, most broadcasters are company guys that just generally, you know, they're paid to be happy about the team, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And Will does his due diligence. He talks to people. He's incredibly, you know, he works incredibly hard at the job that he has, and I don't begrudge him trying to get information. I would do the same thing. I just, Bob Nightingale and Ken Rosenthal are two of the least... I would say messy, sloppy.
It doesn't feel like they're spinning stuff just for clicks. I mean, they wouldn't have to go to this extreme in this case. They don't get much out of this except a little bit of a reaction in Boston. I mean, maybe, but...
It's Ken Rosenthal, in all the years that he's been covering baseball, at the Baltimore Sun, at Fox, now at The Athletic, like, he is the furthest. That's why what he said was so noteworthy. That he went to that level. And then why?
Well, you know what's noteworthy about it? He probably is talking to the Twins, and they're probably pissed, right? Because this narrative's out there that they were potentially trading Joe Ryan, and the Red Sox were close, and they want to dispel that and rip the Red Sox. So they're telling Ken Rosenthal bluntly, we barely talked to them. We asked for this guy, and they never called us back or something, right? I mean, they probably wanted big league players. It makes sense. Why would you trade Joe Ryan unless you get something good back from the big league roster?
Right. And I it's clear that there may have been an interest with the Red Sox and Joe Ryan. I just, what Will said on the afternoon show yesterday, Will Fleming, was that they're going to revisit it in the offseason. What the Red Sox brass, including Will and others, said after they traded Devers to people like me that said this was all about saving money, they said they have plenty of assets. They are going to reinvest in this
team.
Well,
in particular, they're not giving up on 2025.
No, they were going to reinvest.
Yes, that too.
That was not that too. It was, we are going to reinvest on this team. We are not punting. We are reinvesting
on
in this roster.
This year's team.
Right.
Yes.
And
that's
now it's this offseason. It's going to keep kicking the can down the road. That's what's frustrating to me. You have an opportunity. You agree. Mm-hmm. At the trade deadline, they were overachieving like they have in many years before. They are...
Before the All-Star break, against some bad competition, and then after the All-Star break, they were 4-5 against good teams. So they're kind of
right, but
they're a team that needs help if they want to be a World Series contender.
And the American League is as down as it's been in a very long time. The Yankees with Judge, I wouldn't be shocked if Judge is done for the year and the Yankees were playing coy before the deadline that said that maybe it wasn't as serious as they thought. I mean, it's the American League that you thought you had to go through bears very little resemblance to the one you see right now.
Seattle, obviously, honestly, might be the team to beat now after that, what they did. Getting Suarez and Naylor, huge. And they have an awesome lineup.
And to say that, another thing Will said yesterday is that Dustin May is a guy that might be the best acquisition of any of the rentals. A team that has World Series aspirations gave him up.
Yeah, I guess the one truth to that is, and this is the company line from Sam Kennedy. You'll hear this next if you actually want to hear from Sam. Talking to Brad Fo, I'm sure he'll play a larger part of it on his show. Brad was on a one. But their big company line is the guys we were locked in on didn't move. He said that a bunch. So that's their spin, is that these starters didn't go anywhere, like Joe Ryan, like Sandy Alcantara. So it's not our fault. They didn't go anywhere else. And there really weren't like ace starters going anywhere. I'm not defending the May pickup. I would rather have Merrill Kelly. I think that's the one legit guy you missed out on that went. But that is true. Shane Bieber, Charlie Morton, would you have been happier with those guys if they had been here? That's not going to swing. That's not going to make you a World Series winner.
I'm more of a Justin.
Well, he's had some troubles, too.
Oh, he's got a new album.
Let's go to Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. Again, I know I compliment Curtis all the time, but his backbone on the front office report is second to none. And I have to commend him. Because it's not that he doesn't get enough credit, but it really needs to be recognized. I think we should have the Sam Kennedy, Chris Curtis show on the air. That would be a 15 share. Mm-hmm. Anyway, guys, I wanted Yandy Diaz. I don't like the lineup. I was looking at it last night. You got Abraham Toro batting cleanup. After the three hitter, there's nobody. It's really bad.
You're right.
What do you guys think?
You're right. No, they should have got Naylor or Suarez. Those are the guys that went. I mean, the Rays actually are kind of buyers. It's weird. You're right, Mark.
This is why it's so difficult for me to suspend my disbelief when it comes to the Red Sox messaging. We were told by Brad Fo, who is as well-connected as anybody, that a big reason Haim was gone was that he had Danny Ainge syndrome, where he just loves stockpiling picks.
He had to win every trade, 80-20.
And it was too down the middle. He was not understanding of a feel of a season, of a feel of a club. And that Haim Bloom came in and made the Grissom sale trade, and he was lauded by those like Bradford that this is a deal Haim Bloom wouldn't have made, right? Was that, am I accurate in depicting that?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, he did get Schwarber, but yeah, he's not making controllable starter trades for guys off the big league roster and three top prospects and no.
But my point is that Haim Bloom was brought in to trade Mookie Betts and to reevaluate the way in which the team was spending money, because the way Dombrowski was doing it was successful but not as profitable as the ownership group wanted.
Yep.
So now we have Breslow in after Haim Bloom was here, and it's the same old consecutive same old deadlines.
And in a way, he's more socially awkward. The driveline stuff, the pissing off of scouts, he actually has been more corrosive with like old school baseball people, Jim Rice. And now, if you believe Nightingale, he's not well liked by rival GMs. At least Bloom seemed likable. You know, this guy, I don't know. That could be good and bad. He's protecting your assets. I guess he's a tough dealer, but
right.
If you don't get any deals done, then that it's a moot point.
So I say that to say it's not as if the people got in the room at 5:42 and you had 18 minutes to consummate a trade. If Brad Fo's reporting is accurate, and I have no reason to doubt it, that the brain trust, including Theo, Henry, and Sam Kennedy, were in the room with Breslow in his front office.
Yeah, Sam says that.
So, at a certain point, if Breslow or anybody's getting heated in a negotiation and you find that it is not being beneficial to either party, you can figure it out. If winning is the most important thing, if the deal is the most important thing, to say that Theo Epstein is in the room and you're going to put this on the back of Craig Breslow, well, that's on you, Sam. A certain point, you have the power to jump in and say, this is getting personal, this is getting crazy. Instead, I believe that they were using their time before 6 o'clock to spin Jared Carabas, to spin Fox Sports, and say they're close. Then the pass, then the deadline passes. Ken Rosenthal calls the Twins, or the Twins call Ken, and they say it was never close.
Yeah.
And so Ken is made to look like a fool by this ownership group, and he says the truth. And Craig Breslow goes on the Greg Hill Show, and he says that reporting is, I strongly disagree with it. Well, mm-hmm. I side with Craig, with Ken Rosenthal.
Somebody's not telling the full and honest truth.
Right.
And your point about the return on Devers is impeccable. That's, you can't argue that. If they had taken, if they had demanded less dollars, they would have had better prospects in the system.
That's the first thing I said last night when Greg and I were doing our post-deadline drive to
it's
dinner.
It's a rare good point by you.
That's why in the moment I was so stuck on it, Ken. Because you can talk about things changing. Believe me, as somebody who talked about stopping drinking the vast majority of my life, you can tell when you actually do. And when the Red Sox traded Devers, to me, the reason it was when he was pulled off the plane and it was this clunky return to Fenway and he shipped out was because after they swept the Yankees, the Giants general manager finally acquiesced and said, we'll take on the full deal. If you take a fraction of the money and don't make it personal and you improve the return because you improve the number of suitors that would be in on him, then the deadline is different.
It did get you Dustin May. You got Tibbs in that deal.
Right.
The great Tibbs, the third.
But that's why it's even more apropos because they used the guy they got and traded him to the Dodgers.
Yeah, they did. Can I shift over to the Pats for 1 second? Can we give me 2 minutes on Micah Parsons? So Micah Parsons is demanding a trade. And he's 26. He is the best. Is he the best defensive player in the NFL?
I mean, he's
like top three. If nothing
to me,
else.
I you could make a legitimate argument that he is the best defensive player since Lawrence Taylor.
So if he really is going to be traded, what does it take to get him? This has got to be several first round
picks.
Could
you throw
right?
in Dustin May?
I might do that. There have been other people like trying to compare this. The Raiders traded Khalil Mack to the Bears when he was 27 because Parsons is 26. And then they signed him to an extension. And at that point, they sent first-round draft picks in 2019, 2020, a third, a sixth, a second, and a fifth. So two firsts and a bunch of other picks. Would you do that for Micah Parsons? Are the Pats close enough, or do you not even care about that?
I mean, if I had to pick one, and it's not because of talent, it's because of need, I would trade for Terry McLaurin before. Micah Parsons is a no doubt first ballot Hall of Fame, one of the most talented players I've seen in the NFL. And, you know, you could put him up with Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor and all time greats. But the Patriots, I mean, so I would say yes, but if I had to trade up multiple picks, right now, I would trade for a star wide receiver because of what they need.
What do you think Vrabel wants, though? As a defensive guy, he's got to be...
Oh, they'd be salivating.
He's got to be looking at his current pass rush and thinking... Oh,
we know who Belichick would want.
And they have Efton Chisholm, so maybe you don't need Terry McLaurin.
I love an Efton.
Drake May, his first pick last night.
Is that what he gave the Red Sox deadline?
An Efton Chisholm? I know you certainly did. We've heard that this morning. Mego and Scheimer on at 11. Mego was there at the night scrimmage last night, so I'm sure she'll have a full breakdown.
Did Ramondre fumble again?
He did, actually.
Oh, dear.
Yes, he did. He did, and Drake May threw his first pick of camp on practice day number 9. So maybe Scheimer will bump it up from 20 to 21 touchdowns projected this year. Could be good. And a quick thanks to everybody who came out yesterday, the Greg Hill Show remote. It was a nasty weather day, but still a very solid crowd, I would say, down at Pier 52 in Fall River and right adjacent to the Tipsy Seagull. And thanks to Mike and Nicole for having us.
Awesome. Great, great Mexican spot if you're in the area for the poker run, the Morgan's Cantina. Awesome. Mike and Nicole, great hosts. And it was actually crummy there, but last night and this morning, it's been perfect. We were out to dinner last night in Southie. Gorgeous night. My parents and James going to the Red Sox game today, so we'll be there getting
food. You
feel
conflicted about that? I mean, are you going to be walking in pumping fists with James? Or
It's, as you know with Maya, it's not about you.
Two clips coming up I want to play for you. One is Cora last night talking about the Fenway crowd. And Cora's reaction, we haven't discussed at all. It is interesting how he feels about all this. Is he involved? Like, do you put any blame on him for this epic fail, if that's the way you feel about it?
It certainly was an epic fail.
Okay, so what's Cora's role in it? And then Sam Kennedy and the company line to Rob Bradford. Exclusive interview with Bradfo as to what happened. The rock and roll is back at Fenway. Maybe not the Aramark vendors. That's not settled yet, is it, Curtis? You got that still today? The Curtis will be there. And if you're just joining us here on the Ken and Curtis Show, Curtis loves the trade deadline activity of the Red Sox. He's a big fan, and he's heading down today.
Love it.
But Cora, what do you make of Cora's reaction to all this here in the last 24 hours? He spoke on record for the first time, largely ignored it, largely just said, we've got a good team, and we're moving on, doing the best we can. We're better, you know, with Mattson, May, but didn't really dive. He kind of avoided it for the most part, just trying to stay above it. Is that permissible?
Good. Honestly, it's good for him, because if they suck, he can blame the organization like he has the last several years.
Break those underdog shirts back out like you did a few years ago?
I mean, they gave him $21 million, which we believe to be Cora thinking the team was in the right frame of mind to invest. And to me now, it's just $21 million in hush money. It's like, okay, I won't bitch about the team. I got paid, so let's move forward.
Last night on the broadcast, which it's on Apple, right? So the one thing I love about Apple, one thing I don't love is like the buffering. But one thing I do love is you can put our radio call right on, overlaid on the broadcast. So I'm listening, and McDonough was praising Chaim Bloom. He's like, actually, you think about it, Chaim Bloom wasn't so bad. Look at all these prospects that we've got up here right now, including Roman Anthony, who wins the game. And he's right about that. Bloom got you the pieces now.
Right.
That are
and
delivering.
Breslow fired the scout that fired him, found him.
Do you think Roman Anthony by himself could be enough if he surges here in the last couple months to carry this team into a legit run? Like if he just is en fuego, hitting 400, hitting bombs.
Yeah. I heard Will last night on the broadcast say Dustin May's better than Pedro. So
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. We're going to see him Wednesday.
It's a joke. God. No, I don't think this team is winning a championship. No. Or getting to the World Series.
Not getting there, but could they be exciting and get to the league championship series? Put it that way. ALCS.
I mean, nothing better than October baseball. I just... they just do this so wrong in their communication. Like, you heard, we felt it in Fall River. These are diehard Boston sports fans that drove through a monsoon to get to a Greg Hill road show. And it was a loaded bar. And the people were not loaded because the bar had just opened.
Well,
and
going at it for an hour.
And we had a couple hundred people just eviscerate Craig Breslow, boot his ass from 100 miles away, or 50 miles away, and it was...
But don't you think it's more disappointment than anger? It's if I had to try to gauge it, at the state of the team, not the deadline in general, but just like, you talk to somebody on the street and you talk to them about the Red Sox, they're not like thrilled, but they don't hate them.
I think one of the things that separates this region from other places is... If you cross someone, they are not going to take it lightly. If you tell someone something to their face and do something separately away from them, it is never forgotten.
That might be an old narrative. That people still show up at Fenway. It is packed.
What do you do if
you're going today? I mean,
I'm not paying a dime. What do you do if you spend $400 on two tickets over Christmas at Fenway? Are you not going to go to the game?
And you probably already bought your tickets.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So. Of course people – Fenway is an institution.
Mm-hmm. They got you.
I mean, how many people go to Bruins games? Do they like Jeremy Jacobs?
And today it's going to be magnificent over there. God.
Can you answer that question?
Jacobs, people love Jacobs. Might be the best owner in Boston.
Well, he got very stable. He got the blueprint of what to do.
They're trying to
lock
get that
out
cap.
A year and get the cap and
that's
then
what, that's
play
what,
poor.
That's what John Henry wants. He wants that Jacobs cap in place.
But that's the biggest part of this.
Yeah.
John Henry is leading the charge. I mean, I know we did it famously in two separate leads when Courtney and Chime did it in back-to-back days. But the Bryce Harper confrontation
we're headed for a lockout.
And so how can John Henry be the leading voice of needing to curb spending while going after all these guys before it?
Well, speaking of the front office, you'll hear this a larger chunk of this on Bradfoe's show at 1. Baseball isn't boring in the Bradfoe's show, exclusive with Sam Kennedy. And here was a little bit of Sam and what his thoughts were. He was in the room. He pointed out. But why some things didn't happen at Thursday's deadline.
You know, I think there was probably more frustration at the end because we were pushing so hard for controllable starters. And that was the main target. We're really excited that we were able to bolster the rotation and bullpen, but we really were pushing hard. Brez and his team got incredibly uncomfortable with discussions with multiple teams. And, you know, so there was some frustration there at the end, but also satisfaction with a willingness to sort of go to places that that they weren't comfortable going to.
Obviously, like, there's different levels of that. You know, it was very well documented. This was the goal, and to do what you want to do at a trade deadline, you know you're going to have to get to levels. And but as you're witnessing it, like, wow, man, they're really, we're offering this? Or
yeah, there was, without getting into specific names, you know, there was a willingness to put everybody on the table in our farm system and prospects that obviously have a ton of value and wasn't enough to, as has been written about and discussed today, not enough to get over the line on certain deals. So I think there was a, you know, a natural sort of frustration there. At the same time, there was great communication with Alex. He was in the room, and John Henry was in the room, and Mike Gordon was in the room, and Brez and his team were going 24/7. So there's always an exhaustion that sets in. And it's just so different now because, you know, the actual wild card team and the parity in baseball is so strong that there's so many teams trying to do the same thing. And, you know, we were in a position where we're trying to add to this team, and we were able to do that. But you always would have liked to do more.
There is Sam Kennedy. More at the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast channel, where you can find your podcasts.
I don't get the laughing. I don't get it. But you were getting uncomfortable. What does that even mean? Like, I don't.
He was defending, surprisingly, to your point, you're in the room, it didn't get done, but they're defending Breslow in this one. They feel like he's aggressive and he gave it his best shot. But yeah, I don't get it.
Like the day they had Brian O'Halloran call into our show and then fired him an hour later?
I think Brez is, if this doesn't go well, he's fall guy number two in short order.
Of course.
So give us your reaction to that.
Does that sound like a guy who's taking accountability for telling the fan base they were all in? Like,
Again, their company line was, the guys we were locked in on didn't move. Controllable starters didn't move at this deadline, so we tried.
But with parity, all these teams you're competing with were able to improve their team without trading big league players for the guys they acquired, right?
Yeah, at least some. Seattle certainly did.
Seattle, the Astros.
San Diego, Philly.
I mean,
Astros, Sanchez had a bad night and left, but I guess they got better. Correa's definitely helps. I mean, Mets got better. Yeah, there were a lot of teams that did some stuff. All right, 617-779-7937, Ken and Curtis Show, full lines. We'll get to your loaded calls next.